One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, the 1899 Bolton Street House with owner and paranormal investigator Becky Vickers. Becky Vickers' journey into the paranormal began with a profound loss. At 17, her beloved grandfather passed away. In her quest to stay connected with him, Becky immersed herself in the mysteries of the afterlife, sparking a lifelong passion for ghost hunting and the paranormal. With over 37 years of experience, Becky has become an authority in the field, driven by her belief that we can still communicate with our loved ones beyond the grave. Her dedication is not about proving the existence of ghosts, but about opening minds and hearts to the possibility. Recently, Becky became the proud owner of the historic 1899 Bolton Street House in downtown Jacksonville, Texas. This Victorian gem, steeped in local history and surrounded by cemeteries and a former sanitarium, is a hotspot for paranormal activity. With its many original features still intact, it's no surprise that this house is considered to have several portals for spirits to move between their world and ours. Today on The Grave Talks, the 1899 Bolton Street House with owner and paranormal investigator, Becky Vickers. Now, this house is in Jacksonville, Texas.
It is.
And you bought it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, at first, sometimes I might say, I wonder why this person bought a haunted house. But then I look into you and I'm like, I know exactly why she bought a haunted house. You have been investigating the paranormal for more than 35 years. This is kind of a passion of yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely a passion of mine.
So did you want to have your own haunted house, or is it more like, I want to be able to investigate something, you know, not just once or twice, like to own it and really dive in, a combination of both those things?
Yeah, you know, I guess both. I have probably been very, very serious the past 10 years of wanting to own my own place that could be a paranormal research center, kind of, for to share with all of the people that are into the paranormal stuff. It is my one true love, has been for so many years, and I wanted a place that I could call my own, that I could let people come in, know that nothing bad is going to happen to them, do not feel any demonic spirits or anything like that in the house. We do have one cranky old man spirit in the house, though, and he's rather grumpy. But, yeah, and I have collected lots of haunted objects over the years, and I really wanted a place to showcase those and let people experience some of the attachments to that. But when you're looking, I mean, it's not, these are people's homes that mm-hmm. they've lived there for a long time. So you can't just like, hey, by the way, how many spirits are in this house or right. is it haunted? So that was never, ever discussed prior to the purchase of the house. The minute I saw it, it was overwhelming. This is the house for me. This is the one that I've been waiting for. So we did the little walkthrough, and I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, you can, I know there are spirits here. I can feel them. And, so, you know, it was just awesome that I was able to purchase it. And weekend one, doors are opening, lights are flickering, like all of this stuff is happening. And I'm just like, you know, the weird side of me is like, yes, this is greatness. You know, this is awesome. So that's kind of how all that came to be. So, yeah.
Did you talk to the former owners and were you able to ask them about that or did you just not address that? When I closed on my house, I did not want to own a haunted house. And then right before closing, I thought, what if the house is haunted? And I didn't feel that. I felt very much like you were to this house, very drawn to it. And I really, really wanted to live here. I just didn't want it to be haunted. So after we closed, signed all the paperwork, I asked her, I said, okay, this might sound crazy, but is the house haunted? And she said, the house is actually filled with incredibly loving spirits. Like it's a loving, loving feeling in the house.
That gives me chills. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I have had more people walk into my house and say, your house feels like a hug, or your house feels so loving, and like I'm so comfortable here. I've had a lot of comments like that. But so I was kind of looking for the opposite.
How did you feel about that when you found out?
I embraced that because I just, the opening doors and turning on lights and things like that, that tends to scare me like when I'm home by myself, because I live by myself. Uh-huh. And I really don't want that. But I do feel, I've always felt like there's a loving presence here. Like somebody mm-hmm. at one point really, really loved this house. You can tell by the way it was cared for. And yeah. that's what I want to bring back to this house. And I think they get that.
Yeah.
And so they kind of leave me alone.
But that, you know, I live alone too. So, and I doing the paranormal stuff, it's like that's what you're out there doing, right? You mm-hmm. want to have that experience. You want to document, hey, this happened. I know there's no wind blowing the door shut. But when you're alone, you kind of have to, or I know myself, because I have all these haunted things that people have given me over the years. It's like I have to draw my boundaries because I'll freak myself out.
Yeah. Like, I can see that.
I know that I didn't leave that damn light on. And why is it on? I didn't turn it on. All right, spirits, we're not doing this. And all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I get living alone and you don't really want it to happen. And then it kind of does. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, that was pretty cool.
What got you even interested in the paranormal? I was reading up on you. So that's something that goes back to when you were young.
It does. It's a deep passion for me. Lost my grandfather when I was young, very unexpectedly, and he was my world. And you know what? Even I had never thought of ghosts, not once. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't something I thought about. But when I lost him, you know, I say so many times, like every person when they lose someone, they're not ready. You know, right. it's like, give me one more day. Let me have one more moment. And so I just refused to accept that in a way. So I'm like, no, this can't be the end. He can't be gone. I can't talk to him anymore. So I just started reading at a young age behind closed doors, not telling anybody how to communicate with spirits. What happens in the afterlife? Can you still talk to them in real time? This sort of thing. And it just grew from there. So, you know, that's where it really started. So It is a passion because I do think it keeps me very grounded with my grandfather. I don't call on him. A lot of people say, oh, I bet you talk to him all the time. And it's really weird. I don't, because I feel that is such a special bond and a private thing for me. I don't talk to him a lot. If I'm calling on my nan, is what I called him, then I'm needing some guidance. I'm needing some help from the other side. But past that, I don't talk to him a lot, but I am extremely grateful because I feel like it's weird, but the paranormal has gotten me through some really rough times in life, because I would be focused on the paranormal and not, oh, poor pitiful me. I got a divorce. I'm a single mom. I got to get my kid through school, this sort of thing. So it's been a blessing.
That's really interesting to me. That, because a lot of times, you know, you hear these horrible stories about people in the paranormal, but I love that for you, it's been a powerful, in some cases, I'm sure, distraction, which you needed, but it also just helped you through. Did you feel with your grandfather that you have been able to connect with him after he's been gone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very strong believer in visitations in your dreams. Mm-hmm. And when you have the dreams and you've seen somebody, you were able to speak to them or hug them or whatever, and you wake up in the morning and it's still real to you, you're like, oh man, I'm in a good mood because, you know, I got to hug my grandfather last night, my dream. I'm a huge believer. That's not a dream. That's a visitation, and you should accept that for what it was. And so, it's wonderful when those things happen. And yes, I've had many occasions where, not even asking, but he might come to me, or even sometimes in the car, like I can hear him saying, you better get ready, you know, because something else is coming your way. And I've had a medium tell me, because I don't talk to him, that he doesn't like that. Why are you not talking to me and asking me things? And so a lot of really good, positive things have come out of the paranormal world for me. I've gotten to do a lot of really fun and cool stuff. And she said, everything that happened to you, he's put that there for you because you won't ask. So he's just going to do it. I love that. So every time something good happens, I'm like, okay, thank you, Nan. Yeah. You know, okay.
I get it. I'm the same way with my dad. I've got, you know, him, and there's a couple others that I know that are pulling the strings behind the scenes. That's the way I feel anyway.
Yeah.
And it gives me comfort.
Doesn't it? It's just like, aw.
Yeah. Now, when you were little, Becky, and going through this, did your parents say, this is kind of an unhealthy obsession? Or did you kind of even keep it a secret?
Oh, hell no, girl. I'm a country girl, if you can't tell. Ghosts and the afterlife was something that was not open for discussion in my world. So everything that I did was secret to me. When I finally got older, moved out on my own, you know, of course, I started to write a book, and I'm doing all of this sort of thing. And my dad was so scared. I think he was a little bit scared of me. And he was like, are you doing witch stuff? Are you casting spells? And I'm like, no, I have never cast a spell. I don't know how to cast a spell. It's nothing like that. Okay, well, don't do anything like that, Beck. Don't do anything that's going to get, you know, you're going to get hurt with or whatever. So, they eventually came around where, of all these years, my mom has gone ghost hunting with me once, and my dad has gone with me once. And they had to be in the daylight, and they were in cemeteries. Couldn't be a haunted house or anything like that. Had to be in a cemetery where they can run if they needed to.
I get it. I'm impressed that they joined you at least once.
Once, that's it, you know. And finally, you know, after many, many years, they recited to the fact that, okay, you know, this is who she is, and she wants to talk to the ghost all the time, so let's let her do her. And it was good. But in the beginning, when it even start remotely, like, what are you reading about? Mm-hmm. Back then, I would even ask my mom to go to the library, and I would want to check out books on paranormal, afterlife, how to communicate. And she'd be like, what book did you get? You know, so, yeah, it was pretty hush-hush for a while because it wasn't super cool like it is now. Everybody wants to do it. And I didn't want people to think that I was weird.
Well, in the 35 years you've been doing it, it has to have changed a lot from when you first started to now. And I mean that in several different ways. Equipment, of course, there's a lot more of it now. There's a lot more resources out there. There's a lot more people talking about it. I think it's something you could say at dinner, yes, I do paranormal investigations, and people would go with it. You wouldn't feel so judged as maybe you once were. But
absolutely.
In that time, have you found that your feelings or your abilities have changed as well?
Oh, Carol.
Maybe evolved.
Yes.
Evolved,
yes.
Maybe is a better word.
I think once you do the paranormal and you're putting out into the universe, into the spirits, you are open to interaction, communication, that your abilities, everybody has the ability. It's just how well do you want to use it? How much do you want to practice it? I think over the years, I have become extremely sensitive, even to the fact that I am not a medium. I can't call people in and say, oh, let's talk to your grandmother. But it's weird because sometimes I see spirits and I might just do the outburst. Hey, there's a guy standing behind you. He's really tall with blonde hair, blah, blah, blah. I think he's your brother. And he said you need to change jobs or whatever. But I think that just comes from the openness and the invitation to the other side of, you know, I do ghost tours and I like to describe it as you're in a big room and you're having a party with the lights off. And someone opens the door and they walk in with a big floodlight. What happens? Everybody turns around and looks, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody is like, who's here? What is that light? It's the same thing in the spirit world. They're like, oh, this person right here is saying, you can talk to me. You can show me things. And so we're gonna go wherever she goes. So I do think over time that has definitely gotten stronger. In the beginning, I think when things started happening, like you and I were talking beforehand, it's scary. It's scary. You're like, oh crap. You know, I don't think I want this to happen. Mm-hmm. But you do get stronger. You get used to it. And, you know, I'm very big on protection. And so, yeah, I think definitely that has evolved.
I would think over the years that too would evolve the way you enter a room, the way you leave it, your approach to, you know, kind of shutting it down when you need to shut it down.
Absolutely.
I could see how that would change. You know, a lot of things you did when you were younger, you might look back now and go, that was kind of reckless.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It's like, I can't believe I did that and lived to tell about it.
Exactly.
But I think we're all kind of like that in all kinds of different ways. Really.
Yes. It's kind of like now that I, you know, and I'm still learning. Sometimes I'll go on an investigation with somebody and they'll show me something that I didn't even know was possible. I'm like, 35 years, I never knew you could do that. But like, I have learned that I try to research the location because when you're asking open-ended question, who's here? Who wants to communicate? Man, that you're asking for anyone, you know,
true.
Anyone, which could be somebody or something demonic that you don't want to invite in, but you accidentally did. So now my questions are more geared to, I want to talk to someone that lived in this house. I want to talk to someone tied to this location. And, you know, that's something that I look back in how many places I've been and done and like, oh, girl, did you not learn, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, who's here? And it's Alcatraz, you know? Who's here and who wants to talk? Not a good place for a female.
Right? That Alcatraz is creepy.
Oh, my God.
It was so creepy. We did not do a ghost tour. In fact, we went there and it was an air show going on at the same time. So
ooh.
You sure couldn't pick up on activity because there was so much going on outside of the building. And we ended up spending a lot of time because it's pretty cool being
it's
in
one
an
of the
air
coolest
show
place
right
I
there.
Ever
yeah.
been.
But it was an amazing place. I couldn't
imagine.
Did you
get creeped out being a female?
You know, I think there was just so much going on there that day that none of that could really get through.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the people and the air show and the noise and we'd hear a plane go over and we're like, we got to go outside and see what that was. So it was a really weird day to go there and I do want to go back, but I would think as a female, that would be there's a number of prisons I think would be a really difficult place to be.
Yeah.
As a woman.
We were really, really fortunate. We did the little ghost tour too, and it was the last one of the evening. And I don't know, we just got lucky and our tour guide was like, all right, guys, we got like 30 minutes. We're not supposed to do this, but go on your own, do this, do that. And So my boyfriend and I were walking way back into the back, you know, and it was just, I was so creeped out because I guess in my mind's eye, I would hear, you know, the prisoners clanging on the walls and cat calls and this sort of thing. And it was just like, oh man, this is so not a good place for female, like, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-mm. Speaking of history of locations, so I always try to, every interview I do, I like to do a deep dive into who I'm talking to and read up on the location. So, of course, I did that with you. And I'm looking at I don't get creepy about it. I just need to know.
Are you a stalker? Damn, girl.
Oh, yeah, by the way. But when I was trying to look up the house, I couldn't really find much on it. So then before we started the actual interview, I had told you that, and you've had the same problem finding information on the house.
I most definitely have. I have run into a lot of roadblocks. I have, you know, asked the town historical society, the Chamber of Commerce. I've talked to several of the locals trying to find out information on the house. I'm struggling. It's very difficult to find information on the house. What I really feel is that let me start over. The house is located on North Bolton Street, and Boltons were a very prominent family in Jacksonville, Texas. They came to the town in 1870, I believe, and were a huge contributor to the town's by starting a hardware store, banks, this sort of thing. And they had 11 children. And what I did find out is all of those children did build homes on the street. You know, hence to the name of the street was the Boltons. I really, in my heart of hearts, feel like this was a home of one of the children at one time. But to be able to validate that or back it up with documentation, I'm having a little difficulty there.
Which, to most of us, it's like, well, of course you could just go to the courthouse and they've got records there. But I think depending on the town and the size of the town and the history in the town, you know, there have been times where the courthouse burned down and all that documentation was lost.
Yes.
So sometimes it's not that easy to go look up the history of the home.
It's been really hard. And again, what I was told by one of the locals was that a lot of times when people owned the land that they built their homes on, they would build the houses themselves and not use any contractors. It would be all, you know, their family members doing the labor, that they wouldn't file a deed. They wouldn't file anything on the house. They already owned the land, so they just built on it. They didn't have all of these, you know, city ordinances and things that they had to follow back then. So, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but most definitely it's been a struggle, which also kind of makes it a mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on with this house that nobody has the documentation on it?
Now, so did you want to buy a haunted house? Is that what led you to the Bolton house?
Yes, it is.
Had you looked for quite a while before then?
I have. I always wanted to have my own space that I could share with other paranormal people in my world, a place that they could come and feel safe and have some awesome experiences. And so, yeah, I was definitely on the lookout for a haunted house. When this one came available, you know, it's 125 years old. You would think there's definitely some residual energy or something going on, but it was like a magnet for me. I mean, it was instant. It was, this house is mine. It's supposed to be mine. Whether it's haunted or not, I want this house. You know, being from the paranormal world, I was hoping it was haunted and couldn't imagine it not be. And as we did the walkthrough, it was just like, it sounds weird, but like the house was calling, saying, oh, we're here. We're here. But nobody has ever talked to us before. Nobody has ever opened that door for us. And I wanted to be the first, but you can't just bring that up to someone that has lived in the house. The gentleman that I bought it from lived there for 13 years. And I can't just go, oh, you know, it's really old. Is it haunted? Does it have ghosts? And do you have crazy things go on? But, you know, I just felt like in my heart it was. And man, it didn't take weekend one to find out, oh yeah, the spirits are definitely here. And I think they're really happy with me owning it. I'm bringing a lot of positivity to the house. I do know from the previous owner that there were a lot of negative things that happened prior to me owning the house.
Oh.
So lots of bad things. I've talked to the neighbors. She told me some really bad things that had gone on in the house. So I kind of feel like the house is just kind of like, it sounds weird, but smiling, going, oh, someone that cares, somebody that loves us is here. And boy, I think they're eager to show themselves about being happy about the new owner.
Now, how long have you owned it then?
I have only owned it 3 months.
Okay. Because some reason, I don't even know how, I think on Facebook, because I follow so many different paranormal things, and then it suggests pages that you might like. And that's uh-huh. how I stumbled upon it, was Facebook suggested I would like your house.
Aww.
I know, isn't that cool?
That is cool.
But when I was looking at it, I didn't think you had owned it for very long.
I have not. And my true intentions were to fix the house up. It needs a lot of TLC. I mean, it's 125 years old. It needs a lot of love. And so my thought was for me to investigate it myself to find out, you know, is it worth sharing with people? Or is this just going to be my own happy place, you know, kind of thing? But it immediately started with lights flickering, doors opening and closing. And I gave it a couple of months. And then I'm like, I don't know why I'm waiting to share the experiences that's happening to me with others. Like, I'm just going to fix it up as I go. But at the same time, I want to open this up for people to come and experience what I've had. Because it's better to have someone that doesn't own the house to come in and go, wow, you know what, Becky, that happened to me too. You know, the doors did open. So I just decided to do that. I'm like let's just put it out there and see if anybody's interested and would like to come check it out.
And you've had quite a few people so far. And in fact, on your Facebook page, I looked at bookings you have coming up, and it looks like you're pretty busy.
It is. I'm so excited. I had no idea that it would generate so much interest, and I could not be happier about it. I think the house is happy. I've had a discussion with the house. Like, we're going to have visitors, you know, and they're okay with you guys, you know, playing with them, communicating with them, whatever you want to do. It's good, you know. So, yeah, I've been very, very fortunate in the paranormal community has been super supportive of me in this endeavor of love. I mean, I love the house, absolutely love it, and I want to share it with everybody and want everybody to have a good time. And so far, I think they are.
So when an investigative team goes in there, do they share what they've experienced with you? Or do you even have a journal or someplace they can write in what yes. they've experienced?
The first team to ever investigate was not a month ago, I think. They were just over the top so much that they booked 3 more weekends. Like, they can't wait to get back. But they have on video one of the doors that swung open that I even put a latch on, because every time I went upstairs, it would swing open. And the floor is unlevel and things, but not where this attic door is. And I'm like, okay, that just freaks me out.
And the latch should keep it shut.
Yes.
It's got
because it would freak me out, because I'm there a lot by myself, you know, cleaning and fixing up. And so they have that on video. They had voices that they heard. They saw shadows. I can't remember. So far, the people that have come in, which is really exciting to me, have all had really, really awesome experiences. So, yeah, it's cool to hear what happens to them, because, you know, one night I was spending the night there by myself and the lights started flickering. And so I'm going in the kitchen and, you know, I'm nervous. It's a great big old house and I'm in there by myself with new spirits that I know nothing about. But I'm like, okay, are you guys trying to get my attention? You know, go ahead and flicker those lights again, and it would correspond to my questions. Oh. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. There is definitely somebody in here. Yeah, I'm going to turn on a few more lights, you know, that sort of thing.
Because it's one thing if the lights are flickering, you've got an old house, you could say it's an electrical issue. But then Absolutely. If they seem to be responding to your questions, mm-hmm. that seems strange. That doesn't seem like an electrical issue.
No. And I have it all on video. Just this past weekend, we had a team coming in. And so I lit. They're the flameless candles that you turn on the bottom and they light up kind of thing with the battery. And so I put those all throughout the house. I had them turned off. And I was upstairs cleaning, doing whatever it was I was doing. And I came downstairs, and in the dining room, which seems extremely active, only the candles on the dining room table were on. All of them in a row, like somebody was sitting down for dinner. And I'm just like, hollered at my boyfriend, did you turn on the candles? And he freaks out. He's a bit of a scaredy cat. And he was like, no, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. So it's really cool when we have even stuff as simple as just the candles coming on.
And that is something, you know, if they're on or off. Because you have to pick it up and turn it off. You know, it's not like you flick a switch. Those individually.
Yep. And they're not on timers. They're not remote control. They're not any of that stuff. I mean, it is literally a button on the bottom that is a switch back and forth.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the 1899 Bolton Street house with owner and paranormal investigator Becky Vickers. For more information, visit becksghosthunters.com or search for 1899 Bolton Street House on Facebook. If you would like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes without commercials, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
There's a time and a place for filet-o-fish, But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
There's a time and a place for filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.